Continuing Masechet Pesachim, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, we're going to begin from the words Tanya Devei Rabbi Ishmael. So that's eight lines from the bottom, at the end of the line. Eight lines from the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. Tanya Devei Rabbi Ishmael, we learned in a Braita in the yeshiva of Rabbi Ishmael. I was thinking to myself that Ishmael means Hashem will hear. And so we learn the sugya of speaking lashon nekiya, speaking proper language from Rabbi Ishmael, because a person should be careful. He should speak nicely. Hashem is listening. Hashem will hear. Hashem hears what we say. So it's not, you got a kick out of that, Yosef, huh? You like that one. All right. I'm glad I said it. Devei Rabbi Ishmael, Hashem is listening. Leolam yesaper adam belashon nekiya. A person should always speak in a clean language, proper clean language. Cannot overemphasize that. And so Rabbi Ishmael says, where do we find that? She'are bezav, in the Chumash, in the Torah, when it talks about in Parashat Tazria, about the dinim of the Zav and Zava, although they are different in their nature. By Zava, it's a woman who sees blood, not in her cycle of Nida, outside of her Nida cycle. There is Dam Nida and there is Dam Ziva. Dam Ziva is much more Chamur. Mideoraita, she needs Shiva Nekiyim. See, by Nida, we are Machmir to be Yoshevet Shiva Nekiyim because Benot Yisrael Echmiru Al Atzmam, because since we lost our expertise to be able to discern, to tell the difference between Dam Nida and Dam Ziva, so therefore we apply the Din of Shiva Nekiyim even to a regular Dam Nida. But originally, according to the Torah, only by Dam Ziva is there a requirement of Shiva Nekiyim. Now, that's by Isha. By a man, Zav, although the word is the same, but the nature of it is different. It's not Dam, it's not blood, but it is, it's a keri. And if it's just plain keri one time, that's tum'at keri. Tum'at ziva by a person, by a man, is if he sees keri 2 days or 3 days in a row. And so in that case, that's zav. That's the din of a zav. And it could be a machala. In English, I think the word is gonorrhea. That's the usual word that is used for ziva. Miro, is there a word in Ladino?
Same word.
Gonorrhea, yeah, like that? Gonorrhea, okay. I figured. So there's so that's zav and zava. Zav is the man, zava is the woman. So what about it? So Rabbi Ishmael says,
the zav is not dam. Is it?
That's what I was saying. I was saying that by the woman, ziva is dam. Yes. By the man, it's not dam. It's keri. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, what do we find in the Torah? In the Torah, when it gives us the psukim of all the dinim of tum'at, mishkav, umoshav, and merkav, whatever the zav sleeps on, whatever the Zav sits on, whatever the Zav rides on, are Tameh. So, Bezav Kera'o Merkav. When the Torah talks about the Zav, the male, it uses the word Merkav. V'chol ha-merkav asher yirkav alav. Anything that he rides, for example, the saddle that he puts on the horse or the donkey in order to ride on the horse and donkey, the saddle is a merkav. And if a person touches the merkav, someone who touches the merkav, he becomes tameh. Not to the same degree as if he touches the moshav. Moshav means if you come and you touch the cushion upon which the zav sat on, the chair upon which the zav sat on. Yes, Meiro?
I'm very confused. We are talking about dam moshav.
I know, I think I'm confusing everybody. Let me just...
I don't think so. No, I'm the one who's not understanding.
Go ahead, Meiro, ask.
Dam, Because we were talking before that Moshav, for example, was an action, right? So how can the action...
No, Moshav means the cushion upon which he sits, the chair. That's Moshav. Merkav is the item upon which he rides, such as the saddle. You know what a saddle is?
Okay.
So that's the... So now, when it came to the Zav, Kera'o Merkav, the Torah did not spare any words. It didn't hide. It said Merkav, whatever he rides on. Ubaisha Kera'o Moshav. But if you look in the dinim, in the psukim that describe the halachot of a zava, it doesn't say the din of merkav. It only says the din of moshav. V'chol keli in the pasuk it says v'chol keli asher hi yoshevet alav, and anything that she sits on has the din becomes tameh. But it doesn't say the din of merkav like it said by the zav, by the man. Why doesn't it say it by the Isha? Because by the Isha, it's not Lashon Nekiyah to speak about something that she rides on. It's not Sanua. To use the word riding by a Isha is not Sanua. That's first part of the Braita of Rabbi Ishmael. But he continues. He says, in case you're not convinced, Ve'omer, and there is a pasuk in Iyov, Perek Tetvav, Vetifhar leshon arumim. Choose the speech, the language of the wise people. If you know Hebrew, you might be asking yourself, doesn't arumim mean naked? So it all depends on the dot in the mem. When there is a dot in the mem, arumim, with a dagesh in the mem, that means naked. Vayede'u ki erumim hem, by Adam and Chava. Or in Birkot HaShachar, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Malbish Arumim. You have to make sure that you're Madgish the Mem, because it has a difference in meaning. When you are putting a Dagesh in the Mem, it means naked. He clothes the naked. That makes sense. But if you take out the Dagesh, and you just say Arumim, you don't say Arumim, you say Arumim without a Dagesh, that means people who have Orma, cunning. Cunning means they are smart, wise people. Orma means wisdom. So v'tifchar leshon arumim, without the dagesh, it means you choose the lashon of the wise people. So you have to be careful when you say Birkot HaShachar, Rav Mazuz says, to make sure to say malbish arumim, with a dagesh. Because if you're just going to continue with your sleepiness and just say malbish arumim, it says, so then what you're saying is Hashem clothes the wise people. But those who are not wise, He doesn't clothe them. That's not the meaning, right? He clothes everybody. So therefore, that's the big difference between, by the way, if you want to remember, you want to make a siman for yourself, how to remember which one is which. So we all know the Pasuk in Kohelet. The Pasuk in Kohelet says, Divrei Chachamim benachat nishmaim. The words of the wise are heard when they are said softly. So the softer one, arumim, that means wise. The stronger one, arumim, that means naked. That's just on the side. You see, that's what you get when you come here. You get side goodies, you know, side dishes.
Is why we're here.
And hopefully it's not why the others are not. Go ahead.
It's not really a question. It might not be this way in Hebrew, but doesn't cunning mean like almost like deceit?
I understand. Right. In English, the word cunning has a connotation in a negative way, but it's not necessarily true. Cunning can also be used in a good way. It means to be wise. You could be a wise guy. You're right. So that's true. But it has to do with wisdom. It has to do with chokhmah. You're right. So that's another proof. And then Rabbi Ishmael brings a third proof. Ve'omer, another pasuk in Iyov, this time in Perek Lamed Gimel. Ve'da'at sefatai barur milelu. And the wisdom of my words speak clearly. Barur, clearly. Milelu, speak. Like from the word mila. You know, I thought of this, that the word mila, milelu, means to speak, right? Lemalel, like in Parashat Bereshit, we have, Vahi ha'adam lenefesh chaya, Onkelu says, leruach memalela. Memalel, Or we have in next week's parasha, Mi Milel le'Avraham, Henika Banim Sarah. Milel means whoever said such a thing. Lemalel is Milashon Mila. But also in Hebrew, Limlol, Vikatafta Melilot Beyadecha. Melilot means to crumble in your hands. When you take, let's say, wheat grains or kernels of wheat in your hands and you crumble them in your hand, that's called Ose Melilot in the Lashon of the Mishnah from the Torah. Vikatafta Melilot Beyadecha. So in Lashon HaKodesh, there's no accident when two Shorashim are very much similar. So what is that? What is crumbling with your fingers? What does that have to do with milim, which is words? The answer is exactly what we're learning here. When a person speaks, he should speak words that are careful, that are selected, that are pure, as if you felt them with your fingers. Each word that we say, we have to be molel. We have to feel them, crumble them to their essence, so that we say good words, so that we speak Lashon Nekiyah. All right, that's the end of the Braita. So the Gemara asks, why does the Braita have to give us three proofs? Why does Rabbi Ishmael, Ve'omer, Ve'omer, what's wrong with the first one? The first one should be enough. What was the first one? That when it came into Dine Mishkav u'Moshav u'Merkav, so by the Zav, the Torah did say Merkav. By the Zava, it didn't say Merkav because it's not Sanua. Oh, that's a good proof. So why do you have to say Ve'omer ve'tivchar leshon arumim? Ve'omer ve'da'at sefatai baru milelu? What do we gain from these extra proofs? Yosef, you want to ask?
Yeah. Do all those rabbis agree that the 16 one that you were talking about by the Zav and the Zava is the pasuk that we indeed learn from? Or they all still believe there's a machloket?
I'm not understanding your question.
In other words, the pasuk which we direct
16? What 16? That was before. That was Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. He said a different pasuk. Ki amar mikrehu bilti taor ki lo taor. That the Tanakh went 16 letters out of its way to speak cleanly. What does that have to do with Rabbi Ishmael? That's different. That's before the Tanya de Rabbi Ishmael.
Oh, okay.
Okay, don't tangle those two up.
So we learn mid-Araita that the Torah speaks cleanly from the Braita that Rabbi Ishmael said?
Yeah, I mean, we do have the other proof that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi gave from Noach, where it says, Asher enena tehora, and we have the other proofs too. Now we're learning, in addition, a separate Braita, who learns right from a different source in the Torah.
I didn't understand how they all work together.
No, it's not a matter of working together. Each one offered his own opinion where we could see that you're supposed to speak Lashon Nekiyah. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi learned it from the pasuk in Noach. Rav Papa learned it from the pasuk in Parashat Ki Tetzé, the one with the Ki Yebichaish. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov learns it from the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perek Kaf. Now we're learning Tana Devar Rabbi Ishmael from the pasuk in regards to Zav and Zava.
Okay.
So now the question is, why the extra two pasukim brought as proof from Iyov? So the Gemara says it's all well calculated. So, but how? How is it clear? How do you make it clear? When you make something clear, there has to be a reason why. With the words you said before, it was unclear. Why? Wasn't it clear when you brought me the proof from Zav and Zava? That's very clear. What do I need more? My ve'omer. That's the Gemara's question. Why do you have to tell me ve'omer? The first one. So the Gemara says, we are five lines from the bottom. V'chiteima hanimili b'deoraita. Maybe you'll tell me that the first proof is not an all-inclusive proof. It doesn't prove at all, because maybe only in the words of the Torah, maybe the Torah is careful. The Torah is yatz'a mipi ha'gvura, as Rashi says. So therefore, the Torah is very careful with Lashon Nekiyah. It didn't say the word Merkav by the Zava. Aval bid Rabbanan lo, but maybe Rabbanan, maybe when there's a Mishnah or a Braita, you don't have to be so careful in Lashon Nekiyah. Tashema, that's why, come in here, ve'omer, ve'tivchar leshon arumim. That's what Rabbi Ishmael adds from the pasuk in Iyov, ve'tivchar leshon arumim, the speech of the wise, of the Chachamim. So you see that Chachamim also, they are careful in speaking Lashon Nekiyah. Okay, so why the other ve'omer, the last one? V'chitei mahani mili b'derabanan. Maybe you'll say, okay, that's only when you're speaking words of Rabbanan, of Halakha, of Torah. Or le'arba asar, bodkin et hachametz. You didn't say Laila, you said Or. Oh, I understand. Aval b'mili de'alma lo, but maybe in stam conversation of matters of the world. When you talk politics, when you talk diet, nutrition, when you talk any matters of the world. Maybe then you don't have to be so careful with Lashon Nekiya. Ve'omer, that's why we have another proof. Ve'da'at sefatai barur milelu. Even just my plain speech, sefatai, barur milelu. Barur doesn't just mean clear. You know, when we say barur in Hebrew, people think it means clear. It means choicest. It should be selective. Barur, livror, like melechet borer on Shabbat. Each word should be chosen, a chosen word. Barur milelu. Ah, that's even when a person speaks mili de alma. How beautiful. What a beautiful braita we learned from Rabbi Ishmael, who covers the whole gamut of speech. That everything has to be belashon nekiya. Let's see Rashi before we continue. Look in Rashi and also Tosfot. Look in Rashi Bezav. Okay, so five lines from the bottom in Rashi. Bezav ktiv. V'chol ha-merkav asher yirkav. In regards to the male Zav, it says v'chol ha-merkav asher yirkav. What he rides on. U'beisha ktiv, in regards to the Zava, it says, O al hakeli asher hi yoshevet alav. Or if you touch the kli, the vessel upon which he was sitting. Why doesn't it say merkav? So Rashi says, Lefi she'en hagun lehazkir rechiva upisuk raglayim be'isha, because it is not proper, it is not sanua, to mention riding and the, you know, riding entails opening up your legs. So that is not sanua to be mentioned by Isha. Therefore, it didn't say v'chol ha-merkav asher tirkav alav. Ve'af al pi she'ha-merkav ve'ha-moshav shavin b'shnehem, Rashi says. Even though the din of merkav and moshav apply to both. Shavin b'shnehem means it applies to both the man and the woman, which means if you touch the merkav that a zavas rode on, you are tameh. So the dinim apply equally to the zav and the zava. So why did the Torah not say merkav by a woman? Because of lashon nekiya. It's important that we look in Tosfot, Dibur HaMatchil Shehareh, to be very clear about what's going on here. When the Gemara is telling us that the Torah did not say merkav by a woman, does that mean the Torah left out the din? Does it mean that, so Rashi made it clear just now that it doesn't mean that merkav doesn't apply to a woman, right? It does apply. It's just that the Torah did not mention it, or it changed the language. Does the Gemara mean over here that instead of saying merkav, the Torah used the word yoshevet? Is that what the Gemara means? That really the Torah by the Zava is talking about merkav, but it switched from the Lashon of merkav to the Lashon of yoshevet. Tosfot, we're going to see, says that's not the case. No, the Torah mentions the din of moshav by the woman. So what about the din of merkav? It left it out. Tosfot is going to tell us it was left out deliberately because of tzniut. But then you'll ask, if it was left out, does that mean it doesn't apply? So how do we know the halakha of merkav by a woman? We're going to see that there is a hint to it, an extra word in the pasuk by Zava that comes lerabot merkav. So, but it was left out. It's not explicitly mentioned. Yosef, before we begin Tosfot.
Yeah, can you repeat what you just said? And we thought by leaving it out.
So in other words, Tosfot is, this is just a preview of Tosfot, that Tosfot is going to explain, the Gemara doesn't mean to say that the Torah switched the language. Really, when it says Yoshevet, it means Rochevet. But it said Yoshevet in order to use a proper language. Tosfot is going to say a Yesod, we don't change the word when the meaning of the pasuk is one way, and you're going to give me a different word that misleads in the meaning, that we don't do. That we don't do, Tosfot says, and he's going to prove it. So the Gemara therefore cannot mean to say that really when it says Yoshevet, it means Rochevet, but it changed the word to say Yoshevet. No. Really, when it says Yoshevet, it's talking about Yoshevet, the din of Moshav. So where's the din of Merkav? It was left out by Yezava. Why was it left out? That's the proof that we're supposed to be misaper belashonekia. And then the question is, if it's left out, how do we know it applies to a woman? There is a ribui for it. There is a drasha for it. Let's see that in Tosfot.
No, I missed this whole boat because when Rashi says that they're shavin, I thought he was talking about like the Gemara says a couple on the other side of the daf that they equal in.
Yeah. So no. So I'm taking the time here to explain the words in Rashi, that when he said shavin bishnehem, it doesn't mean the words are equal. Meaning, if you say the derogatory word and you say the clean word, it's shavim. They take up the same space. Rashi's not referring to that yet. First of all, you know, we don't know that yet in the Gemara. So why would Rashi say that? He obviously does not mean that. That's clear. What Rashi does mean, Shavim Bishnehem, the halacha of Merkav and Moshav are equal in both what? The Zachar and Nekeva. The Zav and Zava both have the din of Merkav and Moshav. By the way, another thing Rashi surely doesn't mean is that the din of Merkav and the din of Moshav is the same. That Shavin Bishnehem means the din of Merkav and Moshav is the same. No, they're not the same. There is a big difference between Moshav and Merkav. If a person touches Moshav, he Tosfot is going to point this out. If he touches Moshav, he's going to be Metameh Begadim. He not only does he become Tameh, his clothing that he's wearing become Tameh. Whereas when he touches the Merkav, he becomes Tameh, but not his clothing. So the din is not Shaveh. What Rashi means by Shavin Bishnehem is that Merkav and Moshav is a concept that applies both equally to man and woman. Let's see that in Tosfot. That's what will make all of this that we just said, he'll make it clear. Tosfot shehare bezav kera o merkav. Merkav u moshav en dino shave. Right off the bat, Tosfot makes that clear. The din of merkav, what I just told you, the din of merkav and moshav is not the same. Their dinim is not the same. De nogea be merkav, if a person touches a merkav, he touches a saddle upon which the zav or zava rode on, entaun kibus begadim. He doesn't have to clean his clothing. He doesn't have to bring tahara to purify his clothing. His clothing did not become tameh. Kedemuchach betorat kohanim uberesh masechet kelim, as the sifra says, and as the mishnah says in beginning of masechet kelim. So that's for sure not factual. Their dinim is not the same. Okay, so that has to be made clear. Vehashta kashe l'ri. So now, therefore, the Ri Rabbeinu Yitzchak Baal HaTosfot, the Ri asks a big question: Hechi ka'amar de beisha karui moshav? How does the Gemara say that by a woman it's called moshav? Right now, Tosfot and the Havamina is learning that Rabbi Shmuel is telling us that the word Merkav was changed to the word Moshav by a woman because of Tzniut. That's how Tosfot is learning. We're going to see that's not the case. But right now we're learning that Rabbi Shmuel means to say that because of Tzniut, of Lashon Nekiyah, when it came to saying the din of Merkav by a woman, it changed to say Moshav. That's a big problem. That you're changing it to a word that has different dinim. We just said Moshav requires kibbutz begadim, Merkav does not. So you're changing the word from Merkav to Moshav, which has a whole different meaning. Im rotze lomar afilu ukaf sheyesh lo din Merkav. If the pasuk is talking even in the ukaf, ukaf means the saddle that has a din of Merkav. Af beisha shina katuv likroto moshav. If the Gemara means to say that even the saddle, the merkav, was changed to the word moshav, ledaber derech kavod, to speak derech kavod, that can't be. That can't be. It cannot be that the Torah is changing a word to a different meaning word just for the purpose of Lashon Nekiyah. You know why it can't be? We see it from the Gemara later on. The Halekaman Meshani, because later on the Gemara answers, Mishum bi'atuta de gamla urchahu, that because of bi'atuta de gamla, because the woman is scared when she's riding a camel, it's a high, tall animal, urchahu, it is normal for her to be rochev, right? So now, when the Gemara was answering that, what was the question? We should have maybe continued a few more lines in the Gemara. If you look in the Gemara for a second, don't lose your place in Tosfot. Just look in the Gemara for a second, right where we left off. Three lines from the bottom in the middle of the line. Ubisha lo ktiv merkav, the Gemara asks, is that so? Are you telling me that in regards to a woman, you'll never find the word, the verb merkav in the Tanakh? We do find it in the Chumash, such as, for example, in Parashat Toldot, V'haketiv, it says, V'takom rivka v'naroteha, v'tirkavna ala gemalim. And Rivka and her girls, they got up and they rode on the camels. V'tirkavna. It didn't say v'teshevna. It said v'tirkavna ala gemalim. So what do you mean? What are you telling me that the Torah changes the word of merkav because not sanua? You know what the Gemara answered? Hata mishum biatuta digmalim urchahu. On a camel, it's not considered a lashon gnai, a lashon megune, because it's the derech. It's a normal derech for a woman to ride on a camel and to hold on bepisuk raglaim because of biatuta, because of her fear of riding the camel. So Tosfot is bothered with a question here. Listen carefully. First of all, did you get the Gemara, the question and answer? The Gemara had a question. It says, Vatirkavna la gemalim. So what did the Gemara answer? No, that's fine, because it's the derech, it's normal, it's proper for a woman to do so when it comes to a camel, because otherwise she's scared. She's going to fall off. And therefore she is rochev. So Tosfot is bothered with the question, so what? The Torah should still change the word. So what? Who cares that it's urchahu? But it's still, you know, not a word that is tsanua by a woman. So even though Rivka was really rochevet bepisuk raglaim, but the Torah should have brought it out in a lashon of vateshevna. What do you see from here? No, if it would say vateshevna, you're misleading in pshat. You're going to get the picture that she only sat on the camel and she didn't ride it. Whereas that's not the truth. Because of biatuta de gamla, she did ride it. So you see that when we're talking about the Torah using lashon nekiyah, it doesn't mean to take out of context. It doesn't mean to change the meaning of the word. It means to use another synonym that is cleaner, as long as the meaning is the same. So now we go back to our Gemara. Does the Gemara mean to say that really the Torah is telling us the din of merkav by a zava? Just it brought it out in a lashon of moshav, a keli asher yoshevet, but it means rochevet. No, it cannot be that the Torah did that to say yoshevet when it means rochevet, because we see from the Gemara later that We never, even though you're supposed to use Lashon Nekiyah, but not at the expense of changing the meaning of the context. So that's what Tosfot is asking. Let's repeat the question inside Tosfot with this clarity that we just saw. V'hashta kasheh l'ri. Since Moshav and Merkav have different meanings, have different dinim, heichi ka'amar de'be'isha karui Moshav. How did Rabbi Ishmael say that by Isha, the Torah changed from saying the word merkav to the word moshav? Im rotze lomar afilu ikav sheyesh lo din merkav af beisha shina katuv likoto moshav. Does he? If you're telling me that he means that even the saddle which has a din of merkav, the Torah changed it to call it moshav, ledaber bederech kavod, to speak in a clean language, that can't be. The halekaman mishani, because later on the Gemara answers, mishum biatuta de gamla urchahu. The Gemara gives an answer that Rivka did ride, because biatuta de gamla makes it that it's not a lack of tzniut. Alma leshanot adavam imashehu. We see from here that to change the word from its real meaning, en nichtov derech kavod, you don't change the meaning just because of derech kavod. So how could you tell me that over here, how could Rabbi Ishmael tell me that instead of saying Mirkav, it said Moshav? But that's a big difference. Mirkav and Moshav are two different halachot, two different meaning. Let's first see the answer. Before I take your question, let's see the answer. Nireh l'ri, therefore the Ri explains the Gemara differently, as I told you before. Dehachi pirusha. This is the meaning of Rabbi Ishmael. When it said that Be'isha kera'o Moshav, that in the by the Isha, by the Zava, it called Mirkav Moshav, it doesn't mean that it used the word Moshav instead of Mirkav. No, you don't change the word. Meribuya dikra de Moshav. It means that the Torah left it up to a ribui, a hint, to teach me the din of Moshav. It's not that over there when it says Yoshevet, we learn the din of, when it says Yoshevet, it means Merkav. No, Yoshevet means Yoshevet. So where do we learn the din of Merkav? We learn the din of Merkav from an extra word. That's what it means. How come you didn't explicitly say Merkav and you relegated it to a ribui, to a hint? That's because of Lashon Nekia. But it's not that Merkav is camouflaged in the word Moshav. No, Moshav is Moshav. And it cannot be that Moshav means Merkav, because then you're changing the meaning of the word. Moshav, Asheri Yoshevet, is telling me the din of Moshav, Yoshevet. How do I learn Merkav? Miribuya dikra de Moshav, from an extra word in the Pasuk of Moshav. Which, and where do we see this? Dehachita b'Torat Kohanim. It is explicitly explained in the Sifra, in the Torat Kohanim. What does it say there? It takes apart the pasuk. Asher hi yoshevet alav ze moshav. The words asher hi yoshevet alav teaches us the din of moshav. Keli, the extra word kli, v'chol ha-keli asher yoshevet alav. You don't have to say that. You don't have to say that extra word. You could have just said v'chol asher teshev alav, v'chol asher yoshevet alav. Why do you say v'chol ha-keli? And every kli that she sits on, kli zemirkav, that comes to be marbe mirkav. Why did the Torah teach us the din of mirkav by a woman but via a ribui? And when it came to a zav, it didn't go through a ribui. It went explicitly. It said, v'chol ha-mirkav asher yirkav alav. Why by the isha it changed to hide it, to teach it to us from an extra word? Ah, limedanu akatuv lesaper belashon nekiya. That's how the Torah, Rabbi Ishmael is saying, is teaching us to speak lashon nekiya, shelo ketavo behedya, because he didn't say it openly, kemo bezav. Not that it changed the word. You don't change the word when the change has a different meaning. It's the fact that it didn't say it behedya, like it did say it behedya by zav. That's where we learn lesaper belashon nekiya. How are we doing? Good? What's the question, Yosef? What's bothering you?
No, it's our fault. I didn't come prepared. I didn't see this kosher before, so I'm a little bit behind.
Okay. But let me just summarize it to you. All right? Let's summarize the Tosfot. Okay? Maybe this will help. Rabbi Ishmael is saying that we see from the Torah that we're supposed to speak Lashon Nekiya. How did the Torah show it to us? So he says, because when it came to the din of Merkav, of Bayezava, it said Moshav. It didn't say Merkav. So now, the simple way of learning that means that the Torah camouflaged the word Merkav by the woman with the word Moshav. It covered it up. In other words, when it said the words Asher kol hakeli Asher yoshevet alav, when it said yoshevet, it meant rochevet. But you don't want to say rochevet, not nice. So you say yoshevet. Tosfot vehemently disproves that kind of understanding of Rabbi Ishmael. That's not what Rabbi Ishmael meant to say, because we see clearly from the upcoming Gemara that speaking lashon nekiya does not come at the expense of changing the word contextually. We don't do that. Such as the proof from by Rivka. The Gemara answers by Rivka, why does it say Vatir Kavna? Because the fact that she was Vatir Kavna is Urchahu. What kind of an answer is that? But still, the Torah should have said Vateshevna. That the Gemara is not bothered by, because you know why? You know why it says Vatir Kavna? Because that's what she did. And you're not going to change the word to Vateshevna. You don't change the context. That you don't do, even for the purpose of Lashon Nekiyah. So therefore, when Rabbi Ishmael says we learn Lashon Nekiyah from the fact that the Torah doesn't tell us Merkav by the Zava, it doesn't mean that it changed, that it said Yoshevet instead of Rochevet. No, that's not what it means. Because then it would be changing the context, because there's a difference in halacha between Moshav and Merkav. So how do we see that you're supposed to say Lashon Nekiyah? Because the Torah brought out the din of Merkav by a woman from a ribui. That's what it means. It didn't tell us openly the din of Merkav. The din of Moshav, it said openly, Asher hi yoshevet alav. But the din of Merkav is only hinted at. Where is it hinted at? From the word kolakeli, the extra word keli. Why the din of Merkav by a woman, do you teach it to me from an extra word? Give me another pasuk and teach me the din of Merkav, just like you did by Zav. By Zav, you didn't teach me Merkav from an extra word. You told me openly, kol ha-merkav asher irkav alav. Why is it that by a woman, you teach it to me in a hinted way? Oh, from there we learn, because Lashon Nekiyah. So it's from the extra word. It's not the change of Merkav to Moshav. That's what Tosfot said.
Okay, that's a lot.
All right, it's a lot better?
Thank you, yeah. Why is there...
Okay, we have 10 more minutes. So the Gemara, let's see the Gemara inside. Ubeisha lo ktiv ba merkav. And what? By Isha it doesn't say merkav. Ve'aktiv atakom rivka v'na'aroteha. Vatirkavna ala gemalim. So it does say vatirkavna. We didn't do Rashi, by the way. Rashi v'tivchar leshon arumim. Sorry. Look in Rashi, ותבחר לשון ערומים, מצווה עליך כך. It's a mitzvah. It's, or מצווה עליך כך. The pasuk is commanding us to speak לשון ערומים. ותבחר, to choose.
Which one are you inclined to
choose to words. Huh? ותבחר לשון ערומים, מצווה עליך כך. Yeah, I think... Mitzvah alecha kach. This is a mitzvah on you. Mitzvah alecha kach. Yeah. Mitzvah alecha kach. It's a mitzvah upon you. So is a mitzvah upon you. That's what Rashi means. Barur milelu, lashon naki umvurar. Your words should be clean and mevurar, like borer, like you remove pisolet mitoch ochel. You have to remove the pisolet mitoch your words. So the Gemara asks, "Mai ve'omer? Why? Lama lo ve'omer? So why do you need another pasuk? Hanafkalei mikama? What's hanafkalei mikama? But we learn it mikama from the first proof. Very good. Why do you give me a second and third proof? So the Gemara said, "Hachikama, chite mahani mili bedoraita. Maybe you'll think only bedoraita. Torah ikpida bilshona. The Torah is makpid on the way it speaks." Sheyatzata mipi agvura, because it was uttered by Hashem himself. Aval chachamim ba mishnah ubraita, aval chachamim in the mishnah ubraita, maybe en leakpid al lashonam. Maybe we don't have to be concerned with lashon nekiya by the chachamim. Tashema, that's why I need to tell you, v'tivchar lashon arumim. Shamanu sheha arumim bochare lashon hem. The arumim, the wise people, are bochare lashon hem. They are people who choose their words. Ah, boy, did I see that with great people. Ah, to choose the words, count the words. Arumim. Maybe the reason why over here, you know, you asked the question before about the word in English, cunning. And arumim means cunning. That's how it's translated. So you said, you know, that's not such a tzaddik of a wise man. That's a trickery person. The answer is, there's a Gemara in Masechet Brachot, Leolam yehe adam arum beyira. A person has to use trickery in Yirat Shamayim. Since the Yetzer Hara vehanachash vehanachash haya arum, mikol hachaya asher vasadeh, the nachash was cunning, the nachash hakadmoni was cunning. So Yetzer Hara is very cunning, is very tricky. So, im ikesh titakash, with the trickery person, you have to be tricky. You have to be tricky. You have to know the tricks of the trade. So it's not enough to be a simpleton in your wisdom against the Yetzer Hara. You have to know, you have to speak his language. You have to know how to circumvent his ways. So therefore, the Yetzer Hara likes to mix into our words all kinds of other words. You have to be arum biyirah. You have to be arum to choose words. It's a skill. It's a skill. It's an omanut. To speak lashon nekiyah is omanut. That's the pshat in the Gemara in Masechet Chulin. The Gemara says the famous statement, "Mahi omanuto shel adam ba'olam hazeh." What is a skill of the person in this world? What's the craft that a person has to develop in this world? "Mahi omanuto shel adam ba'olam hazeh." We learn from pasuk in Tehilim, "Omnam elem tzedek tedaberun." Omnam elem. What's omnam? Omanut. What's the omanut of a person in this world? Yasim atzmo keilem. He has to make himself like a mute. Which means when it comes to speaking, a person has to be skillful. A person has to have a craft. Tzedek tedaberun. When it comes to tzedek, you know how to speak. So ilem, to be mute, doesn't mean to not speak at all. It means to be mute from bad words. That's what it means. It means to be ilem from the pisolet. From the Lashon Meguneh, that takes Omanut. So, V'tivchal Lashon Arumim. It didn't say V'tivchal Lashon Chachamim, Stam. Lashon Arumim. You need Oma, you need cunning in order to be able to speak properly, to be correct. Someone who is not careful with his speech, he may be a Chacham, but he's not Arum. But he lost in the trick war of the Yetzer Hara. You have to be tricky when it comes to speaking properly. Maybe that's why it says cunningness. Arumim could be. I think so. The next, so the Gemara said, by Rivka it says, Vatirkavna ala gemalim. Answers the Gemara, Hata mishum biatuta digmalim, orchahu. Since there's fear of camels, you know, horses and donkeys, you're not so scared. People who used to ride them all the time, so it's not such a big deal, especially donkeys. But camels is very high, so it's scary. So therefore it says, Vatirkavna mishum biatuta digmalim. Now look in Rashi, the last line of Rashi. Mishum biatuta digmalim shu gavoa. The gamal is high, is tall. Umitiare shelo tipol. So she's worried that she shouldn't fall. Urcha deisha lirkov. Therefore it's the way of the woman, in this case, to ride bepisuk raglaim, kede shete machzeket bo biyadayim raglaim, to hold on tight with her hands and with her legs. So therefore, it's urchahu. So it's not a lack of tzniut for Rivka that vatirkavna. It's not a lack of tzniut, and therefore mimela, it's not lashon megune. We're going to see in the Ben Yoyada, I don't know if we'll have time for it, or we'll see. But the Ben Yoyada, he tells us that the European way of used to be of riding horses and was to sit on it on one side. The women would not ride it, you know, with opening up their legs, but they would sit on it on one side. That would be the womanly way of riding. And so,
because of tzniut,
because of tzniut. Yeah, I know what you mean, but because of tzniut, so it's a more elegant way for a woman. It used to be a time where modesty and chastity by a woman was considered to be elegant and considered to be a nobility by a woman. Today, you speak like this, you're called a prude. Yeah, you're called, you know, you're backwards. You're not. We live in an upside down world, but it used to be a time where even the goyim understood that modesty by a woman is at the very essence of being a woman. Not that a man doesn't have to be modest. That's at the essence of being a human being. A human being has to be modest, no doubt. But the epitome of tzniut, of course, is by a woman. For any sensible person understands why we say that, and therefore that's why the Gemara is struggling here with the words vatir kavna anytime it speaks about a woman. And so it says, when it comes to a camel, it's understandable, and therefore it's proper for a woman to ride on the camel in the proper way, and not just by sitting on it. And therefore the Gemara goes on to ask another question. Meiro?
Right, okay, we said that.
So the Gemara continues and asks from a pasuk in Parashat, Shemot. In Shemot Perek Dalet, Vehaktiv, but it says, Vayikach Moshe et ishto ve'et banav. Moshe took his wife and his sons. Vayarkivem al hachamo. And he rode them on the donkey. So, bepashtut, vayarkivem is going back on what? On ishto, on his wife and banav. Oh! So here we see again, by a woman, we use the word vayarkivem. Answers the Gemara, we turn the page, hata mishum banav urchahu. Over there, mishum banav, because it says banav, so urchahu. Over here we're going to see two pirushim, one from Rashi and one from the Ben Ishchai and Ben Yoyada. Rashi, very quickly on top, says, mishum banav shehem zcharim katav lashon rechiva. Because of banav, that are males, therefore the Torah used the word rechiva, which means, it sounds like he's saying that ishto, it's just agav here. Because of banav, meaning the word vayalkivem, is referring to banav, and ishto, you know, that's not what the word vayalkivem is referring to necessarily. The Ben Yehuda asks, he doesn't ask on Rashi. The truth is that others ask, why do you need the word urchahu? Just say mishum banav. That's all. You don't have to say urchahu. It's like it's giving an excuse for Tzipora, the wife of Moshe. Why did she ride? So mishum banav urchahu, just like we saw by Rivka. According to Rashi, it should say in the Gemara just, hata mishum banav. Mishum banav means the word vayar kivem is going only on banav. It's not going on ishto. That's all. According to Rashi, the Rosh Yosef says that according to Rashi, you don't have to be gores the words urchahu. But the Ben Yoyada is going to tell us a different pshat. We'll see that tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, when we begin on that page that I sent you before, where the Gilsa of urchahu definitely fits very well with. Okay, we'll continue. We just started this. We just turned the page, and Bezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow. We'll start with that Ben Yoyada, and then we'll continue in the sugya further.